Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week, or for the remainder of the week, joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Tony Vitagliano. And now, Steve Jordahl. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us.
Yes, sir.
Good morning / good afternoon to you, sir.
Willing and present.
Willing and present. All right. You got this, I don't know, floral print?
Yeah, it's a little, flowers today.
Yeah, nice colors. Anytime.
A little muted.
Yeah. Comparatively so.
compared to what he usually wears, which is blinding color combinations.
That's right.
My favorite colors are blue and black.
Well, there you go.
Pretty close to the black. But did
you get those favorite colors growing up as a bullied boy in high school or something?
No. I don't know how I got. I think just blue and black are just dull, comparatively speaking. And I think that's just a description of my personality.
So, as we all know.
Yes. All right, Steve, what do you got
for us? Well, I have some breaking news, but I thought we'd start with just some encouragement. I got some words of wisdom from an unnamed influencer that just, I thought we should, I just want to start out with encouraging everybody.
Oh,
so
good.
Let's listen to Cut 17.
Remind you that the only thing keeping you from achieving all your dreams and having all of the things that you've ever wanted is probably money. That's it, just lots of money. So if you could just get lots of money, you could probably have all that stuff that you wanted.
Who is that? What was that?
Some guy that showed up on my Twitter feed. I thought you'd enjoy that.
Inspirational.
That is inspirational. And good grief, I'd never thought of that.
No.
Actually, there is something in the Bible that I think it's in Proverbs somewhere, but it mentions that that wealth is like the walls of a city in protecting people and. So there is something to the fact that what's the old saying? Money doesn't buy happiness, but it buys the kind of misery I can live with.
Yeah, right. You know how to ruin everything, don't you?
No. Well, I'm sorry. I should have just let it.
No. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. There's a spiritual lesson in that. Let's stop. Oh,
that hurts, Steve. That hurts. I will say this, since my son is here today, that when they were growing up, I turned everything into a lecture.
I'm guilty of the same thing. My kids, I don't know if my daughter's listening, she'd be like, yeah. That's the same thing. I get it honest. And I'll be like, where are you going? I'll start to scoot back, start to slowly back away from it. Like, wait, where are you going? You're backing away from me? I'm not done yet.
Like Homer Simpson into the bushes, right?
Yes. That's right. Well, and I don't know whether it was you, Tony, or my daughter, Lindsay, but they were teenage / college. I'm not sure, but they were old enough. We were going somewhere and I was commenting about, it was a dead armadillo or something on the side of the road, and I started talking about, I think I started talking about drugs or something, and one of them said, Dad, you can turn anything into a lecture. And so
dead armadillo.
Dead armadillo will be a lesson to you.
Apparently, yes. It's a parenting gift.
Yeah.
Yes.
You need to look up and down before you cross the street.
Right. Doesn't matter how strong your shell, that the F-150s of this life are going to run you over. All right.
In serious news, breaking news, we're hearing this from the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, tweeting out that he is issuing subpoenas for the following people. This is in relation to this Obama scandal that Obama and other people cooked up to try to discredit the president coming into the 2016 election and then overthrow his presidency afterwards, is what they're saying. So he has issued subpoenas, and I've got dates for all these subpoenas for Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Merrick Garland, James Comey, William Barr, Alberto Gonzalez, Jeff Sessions, Robert Mueller, Loretta Lynch, and Eric Holder. They are going to be compelled to testify, according to James Comer.
Well, and this is about
compelled to appear.
Yes, that's right. The Jeffrey Epstein case.
Fred, not about the Jeffrey Epstein case.
Okay, I'm looking right at it.
Is it?
It is about
Epstein. For records related to Epstein's case.
Yeah.
But the thing I want to say, Fred, is that ordinarily you come before a House or Senate committee where the opposite party's in charge. You could just say, well, I'm pleading the Fifth Amendment. You know, and you can do that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But the Epstein case, I don't know how you, if you're Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, how do you say I'm pleading the Fifth Amendment without making it appear that what everyone says probably happened on that island you were involved with?
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't know, this is pretty genius.
Well, it is. I think we have Republicans and certainly the Democrats that they say there's stuff being hidden. And that Pam Bondi hasn't been forthcoming enough to release what she said she was going to release. And so I think what's happening here, the contingent of Republicans say, let's just get it out there.
Yeah.
Because this is going to shut down, you know, the Democrats, because they want to focus on this Epstein thing. They'd like to plant the idea that somehow Donald Trump was really good friends with Epstein and that he's trying to hide stuff. So I think the Republicans, and I would applaud them for the, let's get it out there.
Yeah.
All right. You know, we'll get all the documents out there. We'll have the testimonies from all of these people. And now, Democrats, where do you want to go with this?
All right, Tony, you're not a big conspiracy guy. Okay. So.
Is that tongue in cheek?
Tongue in cheek. Tony's to the right of me.
Okay.
Just like Wesley Wildman is to the right of Tim.
Okay.
Look, when I'm on the show, I behave myself.
Yes, you do.
I moderate.
Well, that just ended.
All right. So, do you first of all, with the Epstein case, you think there's a there, or and or if there is, do you think we ever get to the bottom of it?
All right. Well.
Go ahead.
I'm going to moderate my response. I think it is realistic, and the grown-up approach to realize that nothing of substance. I have my doubts that anything of substance, where we are able to pinpoint and, you know, prosecute people for these horrendous crimes, will ever come out in the public. I think that's kind of what I had to realize. I've talked about this, I think, with you. You know, when Trump was coming into office and the people that he was talking about nominating, oh, man, we are going to have justice, finally. And I had to realize that, you know, justice as a Christian, sometimes we have to sit back and watch the world system of justice fail, recognizing that God's justice, however, will always be done. So I don't think I'd be very shocked if my time on this earth, I ever witnessed anybody on the Epstein client list coming to face justice. So to me, these subpoenas are more, I don't want to call it theater, because I mean, there will be some substance. It's more about optics, right? Dragging some of these people out than it will be about finding out the bad guy and pointing to Bill Clinton being on the Epstein list, which I have my suspicions that he was probably very good friends with Epstein. So that's my take. I do think there is something to it. I think horrible things were done, but I'm just not confident that our current system of justice will ever bring those people, will punish them.
I'm a little confused by, why is Loretta Lynch on this list?
Yeah, that's strange.
I'm not sure what she adds to this.
I'm not sure that the Republicans aren't going to bring up some questions about the Obama conspiracy.
Okay, that's interesting.
I'm just saying, they got him there, got him under oath.
To it,
because Eric Holder is, I mean, there's interesting people being called.
Yeah.
Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, Jeff Sessions. Well, he was Attorney General, so.
For 3 days.
Yes. Yeah, that is true.
Counts.
And I don't even know how old Jeff Sessions is.
Sessions is the one that got, though, that turned everything over to.
The ethics lawyers.
Yeah.
Prosecutor.
I will say this. James Comer, if I were him, I would stay away from walking on mountain paths or paddleboarding,
or swimming.
I would
in a
keep
pool.
Firearms away from, you know. Anyways, there's your little crazy conspiracy.
Yeah. I'm not sure how crazy that is nowadays. Steve, what's your opinion?
Well, I agree with all y'all that I think Tony hit it on the head when he said that MAGA is waiting and hoping that somebody pays for something for what they did to Donald Trump. And that's why I think that the Epstein thing has probably less legs to it than I think the conspiracy to frame President Trump,
Russia hoax.
Yeah. Although, if it depends on how you measure that, by real legs, as far as real wrongdoing that they can actually have, you know, receipts for, that's the conspiracy Russia. But if you're gauging it on what the mainstream media wants to talk about, you won't hear a thing about it. They have reported on these subpoenas, but I think you've got a better chance of probably holding somebody legally accountable. Well, they've convened a grand jury, although where it's going to be convened, if they can get a subpoena in or an indictment in Washington, D.C., there's questions about that. So
I tend to agree with you, Steve, that the only way I think people go to prison on the Epstein thing is if Epstein has video of people breaking the law. And I'm not sure that ever existed, or if it did exist, that it still exists. And you do have to be careful. We've said this on the show before. I think it's fair to say that there may be people who went to Epstein parties in Manhattan or went to the island and did not know what was going on in this wing or, you know, behind the scenes. And you got to be careful not to taint them with the horrific things that likely went on. And unless Epstein had that kind of proof, I don't think anyone other than Epstein himself and Ghislaine Maxwell are going to pay the price for that. Meanwhile, what you said about some of these other things where the swamp or the intelligence community and perhaps even a president.
They're pulling receipts for them.
Yes, that to me is more likely to result in legal, in criminal actions, but certainly the political destruction of people who may not go to prison for what they did in 2015, 2016 onward, but they may be ruined by it.
With regard to what you said, though, about the Epstein files and the videos that they may or may not have, this whole thing got turbocharged when it was mishandled at the beginning when Pam Bondi said that she had... Was it Pam Bondi or was it? Yeah,
it was Pam Bondi.
Said she had the files on her desk.
She said the list.
The list on her desk, and so she mishandled that. And then they said, "Oh, there's no list."
Right.
Well, they emphatically said that there's no video of anybody doing anything wrong. And if it turns out that there is, they're shooting themselves in the foot again. I don't know how to overcome that big of a bungle if they're still. Yeah. Messing it up.
All right, let's go ahead and move on.
All right, I want to talk about, this is brought to us by a gentleman named Warren English, who is a pharmacist by trade, but is on Twitter talking about drugs and some of the pharmaceutical company issues. And what he is claiming and what he seems to have, and he has produced receipts on this as well, is that the American Heart Association in cahoots with the pharmaceutical companies, and he names Merck and Pfizer and AstraZeneca, conspired to make the pharmacy companies a lot of money. And I'll read what he said. For decades, quoting him, blood pressure over 140 over 90 was defined as hypertension. But in 2017, the American Heart Association changed the rules. They redefined normal as under 120 over 80. Overnight, 103 million Americans all of a sudden had high blood pressure instead of just 72. So some, 20 million people now had high blood pressure. And by the way, AstraZeneca and these big people started making drugs for said high blood pressure. Where it gets suspicious is six of the 15 panel members who wrote these guidelines had financial ties to Big Pharma. The American Heart Association received $30 million from pharmaceutical companies the same year. Blood pressure medication generated $36 billion globally in 2024. Lowering the threshold expanded the market by 43%. They just opened up a huge market.
All right, Fred, we'll get you in here. This, when we went over this, by the way, send me that before I forget. I want to take a look at that. So we were talking about this story in our TI, today's issue, story meeting that we have after devotion, where we go over the stories that we're going to be discussing. And we rarely get to all of them. But I told Steve, I said, I want to get to this one. Okay. Now, I don't want to slander the medical community. Perhaps they legitimately thought that 140 over 90 was too high, that damage is done to the kidneys and the body if you get up that high. So we are going to, maybe there was legitimate medical reasons is what I'm saying, for dropping the cutoff for blood pressure being too high, hypertension. Okay. However, the fact that there are these ties to the companies that make the medicine and the money flowing to the medical community and even the AMA, according to what this gentleman is saying, makes it look suspicious. And I just got to tell you, after COVID, I'm suspicious of people who say they're following the science, but there's also a money trail and follow the money. I'm not sure which one I should follow.
I often, my wife and I talk about this quite a bit. We're getting old.
Yeah.
I hear you. And we're getting...
Yes, y'all are.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You ain't getting any younger, Tony.
we just signed up for a video where you don't have commercials. You pay a little bit of extra streaming service.
Yeah, the premium.
Right. A streaming service where you don't have commercials.
Yep. Give it time. They'll start putting in commercials even for the premium.
Yeah. You have to get the premium.
But all of that to say, one of the reasons we did that, I got so fed up.
Oh, yeah.
With all the pill commercials.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
There's a pill for this. There's a pill for that. There's a pill for this. I have grown. I'm going to join Tony's conspiracy team.
Join me.
I've grown very skeptical of that. If you just take this pill, this will take care of things.
Yeah.
I do know, of course, the companies are forced to be honest because of previous legal cases.
Yeah.
That a minute commercial for the pill is 40 seconds of this could happen to you if you
yes.
take the pill.
Right.
And they're only doing that because it's legally necessary for them to do
that
now. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
The only reason they're doing that is because they're required by law.
Yes. On the blood pressure thing, I'm with you. I think many of our physicians, our general practice physicians, are very sincere.
Yeah.
They want to take care of you. And if they see, a blood pressure that seems to be high, here's a pill.
Right.
And that this will help you. And the pill does help, but there are side effects to it.
Yeah.
And everybody's different. This is the other thing, too. You cannot say, here are the numbers that everybody in the population has to have for blood pressure, because we're all different. And it varies from time to time. You can go to a doctor's office in the morning and you might have a reading. Doctor's office at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is going to be very different.
I've had them tell me that, where I go for my checkup and they say, oh, your blood pressure seems a little high. But it's afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I am suspicious. I am suspicious of the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, they're in business. Mm-hmm. And there have been stories that it's been proven that in some medical offices, there are kickbacks that are given. Yeah. You prescribe this. This goes back years. This is not new. If you prescribe this, we'll cut you a check for that. And so there's, you know, there's the medical field. They're not outside the area of being greedy to get more money.
Right.
All right. So I think there are great people who work for pharmaceutical companies, who are doctors, who are in the medical community. And so I don't want to paint a wide brush.
Right.
But I think if you don't believe there isn't corruption somewhere along the way that involves money, I think you're naive.
Well, Tony, that's just human nature, right?
Yeah.
Human nature. Maybe I trust science, but science doesn't say anything. I think Frank Turek says this. Science doesn't say anything. Scientists do.
Right.
And if you don't think that scientists, human beings, can be influenced, you're just not understanding human nature. What's your take on this?
So, yeah, the world revolves around money. And anytime you start introducing money, the most ethical person can start to slide a little bit towards, you know, stretching the truth, or maybe, you know, doing things that he or she didn't, you know, never thought they would, but the money is pulling them. I pulled up just some numbers. This is from October 30th, 2024. So you talked about the ads on even premium services. You might slip in an ad or two, but pharma accounts for nearly 90% of the broader industry's digital ad spending.
Did you go about for streaming?
For streaming. 90%. And this was from October 2024.
Say that again.
Pharma accounts for nearly 90% of digital advertising. So that's what you see, you know, on ads on websites, but more noticeable, it's what you see on streaming services. And they spent in marketing, said online marketing in 2024, and I don't have 2025 numbers in front of me. It said pharma will spend $19.45 billion.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're spending that much on advertising, you're doing quite well on revenue. And I think for these pharmaceutical companies, there is a motivation to continue to put out new medicines, new drugs. I think about, I had to look them up because I always forget the man's name, but Beria, the chief of police for Stalin, he had an expression that said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. All right. Well, I think Big Pharma, they have a mindset where show me the cure and I'll show you the disease. And that's what I think about with this sliding scale as to what constitutes high blood pressure. Well, we've got this new drug, or we could make a new drug if we just stretch the range that constitutes an unhealthy person.
Yeah.
I think there's too much money, honestly. I think that tends to corrupt individuals, especially when you combine it with government and individuals who should be objective for the sake of all of us, the people they're supposed to represent.
Well, and there are kickbacks. I'm not saying every GP, every general practitioner of medicine is getting kickbacks, but there are gifts. There are kickbacks for some. And if you're a GP, what do you know about the research? You don't have time to. You can't conduct studies. You've got to rely on what they're telling you. And anyway, it's. I don't think you have to be a conspiracy theorist to be concerned. So.
Yes.
Folks, that's all the time we have. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.